And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. This 5 o'clock hour is now upon us, and one plus is it's actually still a little light outside. Kurt Rogers, welcome. How are you, sir?
I am doing just fine, John. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's Monday. What can I say?
Start of another week.
Here we are. Here we go. So talk about rates. I know there's, oh, man, Kurt, I've talked to all sorts of people. Some are, you know, the sky's falling and, you know, things are going to get just awful here, you know, come Wednesday. I, by the way, am not one of those. I think that here in Colorado especially, the housing market is doing so well that unless somebody can come along and build, you know, I don't know, here in Colorado, somewhere around 15 or 20,000 homes overnight, I think we're fine.
And I don't disagree with that at all, John. That's one of the reasons the market's doing so well. There's still people looking at buying homes, and there's just not enough of them out there. So the demand far exceeds the supply. There are certain areas that people are saying, okay, I don't want to be there in. New builds are starting to take off because there's just not enough pre-existing homes.
Right.
And as long as that pressure's on, it's going to do well. What can slow it down is kind of two different things. And one of them is going to be as COVID starts to get corrected with the vaccine and people start feeling that it's safer and more people can go back to work in restaurants and other, you know, those entertainment facilities, you're going to see a brighter spot, which does one thing. It starts to raise inflation. It starts to allow people to raise the prices.
Correct.
And while many people feel that the feds control mortgage rates, they don't. They only control short-term rates. What controls mortgage rates is mortgage-backed securities. And what's been able to keep them low is the feds have been buying a lot of those, $120 billion a month. Well, inflation is starting to rise. So in the last week, 10 days, you're seeing rates rise. They're still in the twos, but they're not at 2% or 2.25%. You can get those, but you've got to pay a lot of money to get them.
Got it.
So the rates are kind of working their way up. I believe, as do a lot of people, that the feds really at this point in our economy are going to keep the mortgage rates down, so they're going to continue to buy mortgage-backed securities.
Yeah.
So we're going to stay in the mid-2s.
Yeah, and partly, I agree with you on that, Kurt, and I think partially why is, you know, the Fed itself, and folks, whether you like this or not, this is just a brass tacks. I don't care what side of the political aisle you sit on, Kurt. The Fed doesn't want to see, I don't care anybody says, any president fail. They want to see the president continue to move forward. They want to see the economy continue to grow. And the reason for that, Kurt, is they make more money when that's happening, right?
Exactly right. Nobody wants to see the economy just take a tank, no matter what side of the fence you're on. So they're going to be doing things to kind of keep it moving. The feds have already explained that they're going to do everything they can with inflation going up to keep the rates down because it's so important to get our workforce back and get it into place and people are making money before you start to raise those rates up again.
That, and I also think, Kurt, unless I'm wrong and this has changed, but really it's been this way even from before I was a kid. It's been this way in our country for some 60, 70 years. The government, the powers that be, like home ownership because they know that provides stability. It keeps the economy rolling. People tend to not move around and they're not as mobile once they own a home. And by the way, the government likes that.
Well, yeah, you really hit on a good nerve there, John. Home ownership, when it's down around 61, 62, it affects too many other businesses. It affects Home Depots and Lowe's.
Right.
It affects furniture stores. It affects appliance stores because people aren't buying those. When you have home ownership, you want to do things to your home.
Right.
So it has a broad wave that goes across the economy that helps to stimulate it. You are correct in that home ownership has come up some quite drastically, and they want to keep it there. They want to keep increasing it, and that's what rates do.
Kurt, I know we can talk more about this on Thursday, but real quick before I let you go, just, you know, curiosity just now came into my mind. How do we as a nation compare to other nations around the world with home ownership? Do we per capita own more homes than other countries? How does that work here versus other parts of the world?
From the statistics that I see, yeah, we are one of the more people own homes in our country than any others. There's other countries. Technically, in Mexico, you can't own a home. The government always owns it. You can make payments to it and have it, but the government says, okay, I want it back. They're going to take it.
Got it.
Most of the people are anywhere from 40 to 55. We're in the mid-60s.
Okay. Makes sense. Kurt, we'll see you Thursday.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. Take care. Have a great week. That's Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Now, went a little long there, but had a great time with Kurt. Don't forget to listen to Haystack Help Radio tomorrow, where Kurt is always there on Tuesdays. And that's Kurt, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Franktown Firearms, as I say all the time, whether you're a novice and you're just new to the gun world and never owned a gun in the past, or you've owned multiples and you want another one, whatever it is, they can help on either end of the spectrum. Don't forget ladies' nights on Fridays as well. And right now, they do have good inventory. So if you're looking for a gun, head out to Franktown. It's klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with a full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, "Those who prepare shall not fear." KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. Charlie's getting our next guest rounded up. And at the 5:30 mark, we had a guest last week that because of some things that went with the show and just got on topic and couldn't take Brett Jacobson. He is co-founder of Red Edge. He's going to join us at 5:30. We're going to talk about Big Tech's response to what happened last Wednesday, which, you know, we had some great shows on. So Brett will be joining us at the 5:30 mark as well. We'll get some comments from him on things. And up next, we have our next guest, Dean Finelli, is with us. Dean, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it, Dean. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, something that's big, and I'm a car guy from background. I am by no means a doctor or an epidemiologist or really into medicine whatsoever other than just what I read and the guests that I interview and so on. So vaccines, I have no authority any way, shape, or form to talk about them other than I know that in a lot of cases, even in the past with vaccines, some are good, some are bad. So talk to us about COVID vaccines.
So currently we have two authorized, and these are
what's called mRNA vaccines. We've never had an mRNA vaccine before, and now we have two. They're highly effective. We've seen 95% efficacy. The safety profiles look very favorable. So, you know, to get a vaccine developed, you're typically talking about a decade. Here, we've done it in, you know, less than a year. So I can appreciate people's skepticism, but looking at the data, they look very effective. We're hearing 95% for each, and as well as the safety profile look very favorable for each.
I read some information over the weekend, and again, I can't verify any of this. It's just things that you read. So I'm one where I'm always a little skeptical until I can get some actual, you know, proof or even do interviews like I have with you. You know, I know there's some concern out there with some folks where there are some, you know, adverse reactions to, you know, the vaccines, plural. And we'll talk about the individual ones in a moment. But what are you hearing on that front, Dean? I mean, I know they're 95% effective, but what's our ratio like of people having some adverse effects on the front side?
Yeah, so typically the main adverse effects you're looking at are injection site pain, a little bit shoulder pain, muscle fatigue, and a small number of people, you're talking under 20%, they'll get fever and chills and, you know, generally that malaise feeling for about 24 hours. Now, for a certain very, very, very small set, and when you're talking about we've administered, you know, approximately 15 million vaccinations so far, and maybe about a dozen people have had these severe allergic reactions, these anaphylactoid-type reactions, they're very rare. That's why they typically occur very quickly after the administration of the vaccine, and that's why after the vaccine there's that 15-minute observation period, and if you have a history of allergic reactions to vaccines, they'll observe you for about 30 minutes.
I was just going to say, are there individuals that, you know, are listening that, you know, would be more prone to having an adverse reaction? In other words, if, you know, can they look back on things in their own life and know that's going to be more of an issue versus someone else?
Yeah, the really only thing you look back on is typically, you know, when we think about our children, you know, the most you're vaccinated is between the ages of when you're born and about 6 years old or so. You know, your child, if you can recall when you were a child, if you've ever had an allergic reaction to a vaccine, that's really the main indication. And, you know, again, it's a very, very low percentage of the population.
Okay, so the two different types, what are the differences in each, or are there much?
Yeah, so the two that are authorized are very similar. They're both mRNA vaccines, and typically when you think of a vaccine, you're thinking of a dead version of the vaccine or an attenuated, a weakened version, or a surface protein that generates an immune response that's indicative of that antigen. In this case, they take it a step upstream, and the mRNA is the code for that spike protein that we've seen so much on the news and heard so much about. It allows your cellular machinery to basically make the protein, that spike protein, and then generate that immune response. Now, there are other vaccines that are currently in development. The Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca are two we've also heard a lot about that are in the pipeline that hopefully will be authorized very quickly. They're a different type of vaccine. They actually either code for the protein in a different way or actually have the protein in them. But generally, they all work in the same way. They generate this immune response, and most are focusing on that spike protein.
All right. There's a lot of conversation, Dean, about, you know, DNA changes and things along those lines. True or false?
False. The vaccines, you know, we hear the term mRNA vaccine. You know, people automatically think, you know, this is altering my DNA. The mRNA does not get into the cell nucleus, so it doesn't alter your DNA. It sticks around for about probably less than 24 hours. It degrades very quickly, so it's not a long-term thing that sits around in your system. And, you know, to answer your question again, there's no genetic modification. There's no, you're not being turned into some human genetically modified organism. All it's doing is using your cellular machinery. It gets inside the cell, but not the nucleus, to code for this protein. So you are generating the protein, but in no way is it altering DNA.
All right. And by the way, everybody, Dean is a PhD expert on pharmaceutical and chemical related technologies. So, you know, he is much more up on this than I would ever think of being. And Dean, I guess maybe I have a dumb question, but since it's a question, maybe it's not so dumb. Can a person's DNA even be changed? I mean, to me, that's like sci-fi stuff. And is that even possible?
You know, we hear about doing gene editing, and you know there was that lab in China where they altered the DNA of those the two infants that were born to make them resistant to HIV. You know, certainly, and which was highly unethical and did not happen in the United States, and it was pretty widely criticized the fact that it happened. So there are techniques that can do it. So we are getting into that stage where we're learning how to do that, but typically when you think of gene editing, it's in the somatic cells, meaning it's in the cells in your body. It doesn't get into the, you know, we hear, remember biology from when you're in high school or college, you hear the sperm cell and the egg cell, that's not being altered at all. So when we think of gene editing, it's typically done, and we're talking in the healthcare industry in the case of treating rare diseases and treating genetic diseases. There, it's treating the individual. It doesn't get passed on to your offspring. So it's not really, again, not editing your genes per se that are transmitted, just editing the genes to treat those rare diseases in the body. So it's not a stupid question at all. Technology is getting there, but there are a lot of ethical questions about it. And, you know, altering DNA that's passed along in those germ cells is right now unethical and not being done.
Okay, so where, again, maybe another dumb question, where do all these rumors and things come from, Dean?
You know, it's exactly what it is. There's so much misinformation out there on the internet. You know, you hear people that hear mRNA, and people automatically think back from when they were, I guess, in high school, and mRNA, DNA, therefore genes are getting modified. That's not how it works. You know, I highly recommend people go to the FDA.gov. There's a lot of factual information out there. There's just so much misinformation about not trusting vaccines, you know, hearing from politicians and stuff just to score political points. It's not a good thing. But one thing I will say is there needs to be an educational campaign. I think we're long overdue because a lot of people have these questions, and they're not stupid questions. They're just questions that people have because, you know, we hear about vaccines being developed very quickly. So, you know, I think the Biden administration, one of the things I think they should do immediately is kind of get an educational campaign, and not with, you know, Hollywood types and athletes, but with actual physicians and research scientists to show how this was done, why this was done, even though it was done quickly, why it's safe. And, you know, not to tell people do this because we said so, but just to educate people so they can make an informed decision of whether they should get the vaccine or not.
Well said. By the way, I thank you for answering, you know, what I consider to be my dumb questions, and I really mean that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being on here, being honest, and what we are doing here, Dean, really, I hope, is what you just talked about, educating people so they can now make an educated decision as to what they want to do, you know, vaccine-wise. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever have to make that decision. I feel I'm very healthy, have a great immune system. I guarantee I've been exposed to COVID. I don't know how many times. I've never not gone to work a particular day, even all through COVID. So Lord knows I've guaranteed all the different places I've been shopping. I've traveled. I've been everywhere, Dean. I guarantee you I've been exposed to it. And, you know, why I haven't gotten it, I can't answer that. I just think it's one of those things where certain people have a better immune system towards it than others. And again, I guess that's a question for you. Am I right in saying that? Do some people just naturally do better at defending COVID than others?
Yeah, that's another great point. And yes, you know, typically your immune system when you're young, you're around 25, 30, that age, you have a very healthy immune system. It starts to really go down as we get into our 40s, 50s. And, you know, that's a big reason why we think these people over the age of 65 are getting it so, you know, so hip so hard. But again, it's a good point that you bring up. You know, when we think about healthcare and, you know, when we look back on this, and I don't mean in 50 years, 100 years, I mean like in the near future after we're through this, we really have to examine because, you know, I get the vaccine, why we need it. I think in order to get herd immunity is very important. But,
agree.
You know, we're typically when you think about isolating people and quarantining people, you know, you isolate and quarantine from the medical standpoint, sick people. Here we're telling healthy people,
thank you,
stay in your house.
Right. Well, so to me, we're doing it backwards.
It's a very good point. Now, I get it. There's asymptomatic transmission, and a lot of that quarantine is because we're trying to protect those vulnerable individuals that are out there. But again, it's really an issue that, you know, after we're through this, you know, we really have to examine, you know, did we do this the right way, or what can we have done differently?
Well, and I, you know, just, I know we're getting close to the end of the time here, but, you know, to throw at it, and I talk about this a lot on the show, you know, the other repercussions of what you just talked about, not only the economic side of it, but the isolation and so on. And I firmly believe, Dean, that in 2021, you know, we get into the early part of 2022, I think our data from 2021 is going to show that, you know, some folks have even put off other medical things they should have had looked at because of fear of COVID and so on. At some point, you've got to weigh all of this out. And I think, to your point, we're going to look back in the not too distant future and say, man, we probably didn't handle that all too well.
Yeah, I hope we learn from our mistakes.
Agreed. Well said. All right. I appreciate it. By the way, answered some great questions. Love to have you back in the future, Dean. Great stuff. Can folks find more about you and your work and even some of these topics? How do they find you, Dean?
Yeah, I'm an attorney in Washington, D.C. at the law firm of Cooley. They can look me up at Cooley, COOLEY.com.
Appreciate it. Dean, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure. Thank
you bet.
You
take care.
Me.
Guys, really, really good stuff there. And, I looked up some of Dean's credentials before having him on. I wanted somebody really that could come on that is literally an expert. And by the way, we interview lots of different individuals on this show, doctors, medical professionals, and so on. When you get into the vaccine end of things, there's a lot of intricate things and data and things going on there. And it would, again, I wanted somebody on, even in the PhD level, that has studied a lot of these things, that understands how this works. And I think you could hear from the conversation from Dean Finelli that, yeah, he gets this, he understands this. And for me personally, answered some great, great questions. I hope he did for you as well. We'll come right back. Brett Jacobson should be joining us here. We'll talk big tech in just one moment. Purify Chevrolet's up next. As I said earlier, I was out there today, picked up my new Corvette. Always great service, a great time at Purify Chevrolet. They just always take great care. And no, it's not just because it's me. They'll do that with anybody. That's how they do it. Find new roads, purifychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, this is Marie with KLZ, and I just want to say on a personal note how impressed I am with Purifoy Chevrolet. Something we pride ourselves on at KLZ is we never advertise somebody without meeting them face-to-face and really feeling confident that they will take good care of our listeners. And I've never been in an auto dealer like Purifoy Chevrolet, and the reason is Rolly Purifoy. I know he would never say this about himself because he's a very humble man, but he holds himself personally to such an incredibly high standard that his example permeates the entire business. He was walking us through the building and there were these really nice clean ceiling tiles above my head, and he made some comment about how he had installed them himself. And the same with his stunning showroom has a new floor that he personally installed. And I think when you have a leader who cares about those details, it affects the entire atmosphere of the business.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith wants to help you as we head to 2021 and you look at your finances, know where you're going, know how you're going to get there and how it's all going to work in the times that we're in now. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now, estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Brett Jacobson joining us now, co-founder of Red Edge, and you can just look that up online if you would like, even while we're talking. It's RedEdge.com. Brett, first things first, I want to say thank you for postponing our interview last week to today. We got on a topic last week that just blew up and had a gazillion callers, and I appreciate you working with us.
No worries. That's great. People are energized right now.
Yeah, very, very much so. All right. So you are in the world of big tech. Talk to us about last week's events and how big tech, is behaving at the moment.
Sure. So I think, I think there's a lot of concern out there, especially on people on the right, that their voices are being clamped down on. I think we're seeing a couple different trends that might be getting.
And by the way, I think in some cases that's a true statement.
Yeah. I think there's kind of a multi-year story that we're talking about where there's concern that big platforms are a little more lenient with the left than they are with the right. So I think that's the long-term backdrop against which last week's actions took place. And all of a sudden you see, this person got banned, the president got, temporarily suspended, then permanently suspended.
Right.
Then there's a Parler thing. And I think there are two storylines that have been confused. And one is that it's probably accurate to say that the big platforms have been a little heavier on conservative speech and liberal speech long term. But then last week, there were some actually very concerning cases of violence being specifically plotted and advanced around the Capitol. So I think you had, these immediate shutdowns that feel like all of a sudden just like very harsh sort of ultimate points of a long-term trend. And I think they need to be separated out. And I think the platforms need to do a better job starting to talk about their practices and how they can be even-handed in them, which I actually think is going to be extremely difficult for them.
Well said, by the way, I think on all fronts, and I talked about some of this last week even in regards to some of the topics that came up. I, for one, believe that feel that the big techs on the social media side, we'll talk about Amazon in a second, but the social media side, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so on, these guys, Brett, have been and I believe are behaving as editors and publicists. I believe they're rolling under the protection of 230, but the reality is they really are publishers, and we know what that means. I'm not going to get all the details of everybody out there listening, but the 230 gives them protection. But Brett, when you start deciding what goes on the platform and does not go on the platform, and I'm not talking from a legal standpoint when it comes to porn and nudity and child pornography and things like that. I'm not talking about those sorts of things. I think that's pretty cut and dried on what they should and shouldn't be doing. But when it comes to whose statement you're carrying or not carrying, or you have your own quote unquote fact checkers that are out there running around fact checking certain things that may or may not even be true with the fact checkers, you now become a publisher, not a platform.
Well, I think the platforms probably had an over sort of an outsized view of their capabilities in terms of being able to review and moderate content. And I think that probably a little dose of humility would help them a lot. Because the truth is the artificial intelligence technology is not there to monitor hundreds of millions of conversations and be able to guess what's funny and what's not. And we certainly don't have the manpower to be able to go and make those kinds of judgments. So I think they got themselves in trouble when they said that they could moderate content.
Ah, good point.
By the way,
you're the first person I've ever really... You just said something that actually makes 1,000%, sense, and something I've never heard anybody talk about yet. So thank you, even for myself. What you just said makes complete sense. In other words, there's no way they can monitor everything.
Yeah, and I think that then you see the left get angry at them for not shutting down enough speech because
right.
they think that they have the capability, and the right is frustrated that they're shutting down too much as if, they're making good judgments. And the thing is, they're just taking water from every side, and I don't think they've just acknowledged publicly that perhaps we shouldn't have committed ourselves to this. Perhaps we should have stuck with violence and pornography in terms of, cut and dried lines.
Right.
Because it really,
which, by the way, Brett, what you just said, I think they should have done that. I think they very much should have just come out right out of the gate and said, okay, these are the things we're going to allow. These are the things we're not going to allow. If there's something that comes on here that you don't like, you know what? Tough noogies. We're not going to be in the business of negating what's right and what's wrong and all of that. These are our rules. These are our guidelines. These are what we're going to abide by, period.
Completely agree. And, you know, where we're at is, I think, you know, people on the right are more comfortable with the concept of more speech is better speech. That if, you know, somebody says something you don't like, that you have the ability to talk to other people and try to win in the marketplace of ideas. And I think where the left is at in America right now is, unfortunately, in the cancel culture and shut people down model. And I think that that is kind of what crept over into content moderation. And so you have these massive forces confusing each other in the conversation.
By the way, fully agree. Shifting gears, and I talked about this some last week, but I want to get your take on this as well. And I am of the sorts, and I'm conservative, you know that, but I'm of the sorts where I'm one that I think businesses should be allowed to do whatever businesses want to do. Even in regards to Brett, I talked about this in our first hour today, where I am one that says I don't even think particular classes of people need protection inside the business community. The internet, by the way, does all of that for us anyways. We don't need the government intervening saying, hey, there's a store out there that will only serve to whites, or they will only serve to blacks. My feeling, Brett, is the internet itself will handle and moderate and basically negotiate on our behalf all of those different things that come up anyway. So when it comes to Amazon deciding who they want as a customer and who they don't, this is one of those cases where I'm going to support Amazon.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's also one of those cases where the story was mixed in and churned in with a bunch of other things that were going, and people kind of, you know, thought that it was part of a pattern of the other, you know, you have the socials, which are basically kind of, you know, tamping down particular speech. In this particular case, it certainly seems like Amazon was like, hey, we've warned you about a number of violations. We're asking you to deal with it. And so I think, you know, that's a case where lawyers are probably won the day.
Probably. You know, you're probably. You know what? Great point. Again,
statement, it was lawyers.
No, again, something no one else has said yet. Good point. I'm glad you said that, because you're probably exactly correct in what you just said.
Yeah, it was a terms of service thing, you know, and it's with so much complexity in terms of service. You know, half of our speech is impacted by terms of service as it is the actual First Amendment. So, and that is a case where companies are, you know, they're probably paying a lot to their lawyers and hopefully getting something in return.
Well, and Brett, let's make sure we're clear on this as well. And I think this is where you guys come into play, probably in agreement even with me. When you go to somebody's private property, and, you know, I'm standing on the street corner of a street corner that's not public property, it's private property. The private owner can tell me what I can and can't say as a private property owner. No different than Amazon and its servers.
Yeah. You know, they don't necessarily claim to be a public space for people to go say whatever they want. They're a company just serving you, you know, a service, a technical service. I think, you know, of all of the places to put our philosophical concern, that one to me doesn't seem particularly fruitful to worry about.
Well said. I fully agree. Now, I also know that there's a side of the fence out there that's basically accusing all of these individuals, including, you know, even including Amazon, that, wait a minute, you know, I for one will tell you that Facebook, you know, they can run around and, you know, they can try to monitor speech and fact check and do this and do that. Yet I'm a Facebook marketplace guy and a car guy to boot. And I can't tell you how many different scams daily there is, Brett, on Facebook marketplace that I can tell you legitimately are scams just by reading the ad. And yet they keep running. And I'm one to say, wait a minute, Facebook, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You want to fact check everybody on the political speech side, but yet you're letting scammers run around on marketplace and not shutting those guys down.
Well, you know, they're both the same problem of scale, you know, the famous quote that a lie can travel halfway around the world. And that was in the 1800s. Now, the internet, like, you know, a lie can lap the planet several times before the truth can get going. And so, you know, it's not a case where I think tech is itself evil. It's just amping the speed that ideas can travel so fast that we haven't necessarily updated our own brain software to being skeptical quite enough and understanding the scale of potential problems or miscommunications or even outright fabrications.
Well, and let's face it, Brett, and you know this as well as I, that to what you said a moment ago, some of the stuff gets out there and an idea gets started and it just literally blows up. I mean, you know, and for the founders, that's fabulous. But literally, it blows up in some cases, I think, far beyond what any of these folks ever thought it would do in the first place.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the tough things as conservatives and market people, it's really easy to forget to try to calculate the benefit in something. You know, so there are a lot of people who get benefits out of these products and platforms. They get to stay in touch with their loved ones in a way that they couldn't 20 years ago. They get to meet new people faster and share ideas faster.
Sure.
So on net, it's probably positive. I think we've just kind of all reached a point where we're saying, hey, we also need to look at the other side of the ledger and how we try to be responsible.
Well, and I think, you know, I was going to say a moment ago that in a technology that in a lot of ways is free to them to use, but not free in the, how do I want to say this? It's free that there's no monetary value being exchanged. But I think folks need to be reminded, this is where you come in, their data is being freely shared, which there is a cost on that end of it. So while we think those platforms are free, Facebook, Twitter, and so on, it's free to a point, but they're garnering data from us that's very valuable, and that's how we're paying for it, right?
Yeah, there's the shorthand version is if you're not the customer, you're the product. And, you know, there is still value to getting that service for free. And there's even, as a person who does advertising on behalf of Liberty clients, there is a ton of value to being able to know what ads people want to see. And so people get to see fewer bad ads. So there is benefit, but nobody ever thinks of the poor, lonely advertisers out here.
Well, and I, you know what, given the fact that I was one of those guys forever and I look at the advertisers that are on my show and realize where they're coming from, I'm glad you just said that because I do. I look at that end of it. They're the ones that literally are making all of that happen so that that content, if you would, is delivered to each and every page, if you would, or wall, you know, free of charge. Nobody's being charged to use Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Snapchat or on down the line we go. But, Brett, I do think it's a reminder that to each and every one of us, you know, while it's free, there is a cost. That cost is our data, and how much data are you giving them?
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, you know, as you know, market people, we want there to be clean, you know, clear ways for people to understand what the trade-offs are, so that they are able to understand the decisions that they're making. And I think once people have access to understandable, digestible data, then, you know, it is up to them to make those decisions for their own lives.
All right, real quick, talk about Red Edge. What does you guys do?
So we basically are like a creative and advertising firm for Liberty. So we help teach high school kids about civics and American history all the way up to helping citizens talk to the government to keep taxes lower and fight back regulation.
So you are actually on our side. I want everybody out there listening to understand that. So, you know, you like me, you're coming at this probably from a little different perspective. And I try to be, and as you can tell, I'm kind of an IT geek as well. Even though I'm an auto guy, I'm kind of an IT geek. So I understand that world fairly well. And I try to, you know, I know there was a lot of conservatives last week, by the way, that were, you know, really mad and angry and upset at Amazon. I frankly, Brett, wasn't one of those because of what we've just talked about.
Yeah, and you know, this is one of those places where libertarians and conservatives are actually pretty different. Libertarians really like technology, kind of just on average. And so I think they're more used to engaging with it and understanding some of the trade-offs. And a lot of conservatives just don't really care for it as much. And so it's a lot harder for them to approach some of the complexities that might just not be interesting and easier to grow frustrated a little faster, I think.
No, and by the way, well said. And I tend to lean a little more that direction, as you could probably tell. I wouldn't call myself a true libertarian, although my leanings are more that way. And I love technology. I guess being in the business world, you know, my entire life, being self-employed, the majority of my adult life. I understand its value and how it works. And I appreciate you joining us. It really, Brett, I'd love to have you back. This is great stuff. I enjoy it.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
I'll do it again. Thank you very much, Brett. We appreciate it. And again, that is RedEdge.com. That's how you can find more about Brett and all that they do there. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. And at Extreme, they can sell you Cooper tires at cost. They've got a 0% financing deal for those tires right now. And anything else you need for your vehicle, they'll help you with that as well. Find them again at KLZRadio.com or 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
Kevin Flash, he's going to join us Wednesday, by the way, for our, we try to do it monthly. It's been a couple of months since we've had Kevin on, so we'll do a little longer segment on Wednesday, but it'll be legal day. In the meantime, anything you need from Kevin, just a question, maybe you've been in an accident, you're not getting your medical bills paid, you're not getting your car fixed, you're not getting any response, which, by the way, it's having a house burned down up in the mountains. If I don't start getting some response from my insurance company here in the not-too-distant future, Kevin's going to be on the horn with them because I'm tired of being ignored. That's where Kevin comes into play. 303-806-8886. Find him at fleshlawfirm.com, and it's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, has a unique background that makes him a more effective advocate for you. He handles both criminal and civil cases. Most attorneys only do one or the other, but Kevin has almost 25 years of experience on both sides, which means he has more practice in the courtroom. Most personal injury attorneys will say they have experience in court, but since only about 10% of personal injury cases actually go to trial, those attorneys only appear in court once or twice a year. Because Kevin also takes criminal cases, he appears in court constantly. Kevin has a rare ability to present an argument that only comes from years of experience learning how to read a courtroom. KLZ's personal injury attorney continues to practice both civil and criminal defense because he believes the courtroom keeps him nimble. Trial tested, trial ready. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, I've always talked about airports and TSA especially, and how it really is like a mask. You know, mask in public is like TSA. It just makes you feel good, but really it's not doing a whole lot of anything. I've said that for years about TSA, and I'll keep saying it. Case in point, a man hides for 3 months at the Chicago airport due to coronavirus. The man was reportedly scared to go home due to COVID. He told authorities he had found a badge and that other passengers at the airport had given him food. So a California man who told police that the coronavirus pandemic left him afraid to fly has been arrested on charges that he hid in a secured area at Chicago O'Hare International Airport for 3 months. 3 months. His last name is Singh, 36, is charged with felony criminal trespass to a restricted area of an airport and misdemeanor theft after he was arrested Saturday. At a court hearing on Sunday, a judge ruled that the Orange, California man could be released if he paid $1,000, but said that Singh was prohibited from setting foot in the airport. As of Monday morning, he remained in the Cook County Jail. Assistant public defender Courtney Smallwood said Singh does not have a criminal record. She also said that it was unclear why Singh, who was unemployed, came to Chicago or if he has ties to the area. During the hearing, Assistant State's Attorney Kathleen Haggerty said that Singh was spotted by two United Airline employees who asked him for ID. The Chicago Tribune reported Singh lowered his mask and showed a badge that actually belonged to an operations manager at the airport who had reported it missing in late October. The employees called police, who took Singh into custody. Singh was scared to go home due to COVID. He told authorities that he'd found the badge and the other passengers at the airport gave him food. Before she granted Singh bail, Cook County Judge Susan Ortiz was clearly troubled that someone could remain in a secure area for so long at the airport without anyone noticing. The court finds these facts and circumstances quite shocking for the alleged period of time that this occurred, said the judge. Being in a secured part of the airport under a fake ID badge, allegedly based upon the need for airports to be absolutely secure so that people feel safe to travel, I do find these alleged allegations or these alleged actions do make him a danger to the community. Folks, again, as I've said probably 100 times on this show, TSA and what goes on at an airport is there just so you feel good. It's not doing anything to make you safe. I.e., the mask on your face entering into a lot of places might make you feel more safe, but at the end of the day, it's not. This is all about appearances, and that's all TSA is doing. And I'm sorry, those of you that might work in TSA that are listening to me right now, but I see you as about useless at the airport. I'm just being very honest. You make people feel safe, but in all reality, no one is safer at the airport. I am one, a huge advocate, where each airline should be responsible for their own security. We should do it on a point system whereby they're reviewed on a routine basis, and you decide which airline you want to fly based upon their own security record, and you take your pick. If somebody has less security than others, great, hop on. And if you have a higher security, great. Maybe you get to charge a little more fee for your ticket. That's how it should work. Open it up to the open market. Let them handle their own security and get rid of TSA and the billions of dollars they cost us. Last time I checked, Charlie, it was like $6 or $7 billion a year TSA cost us as taxpayers. Drop those guys like a hot rock and move on to something else, i.e. the airlines handling it on their own. And by the way, that way the passengers that are flying could actually make that happen, not the rest of us as taxpayers. Those that fly, pay. Those that don't, don't. A Good Shop is up next, by the way. We talked to Al in the 3 o'clock hour, the owner of A Good Shop. And, you know, certification's big deal. When it comes to getting your car fixed right and being as good, if not better, than new, that's the OEM's desire. That's the OEM being the original equipment manufacturer of the car. That's the OEM's desire. That's A Good Shop's desire. And Al being the owner, that's what he wants to have happen. 3 locations to serve you, 2 in North Glen, 1 in Commerce City. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding A Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At A Good Shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because A Good Shop has 3 locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, Charlie reminded me of something with the gentleman that was in the Chicago airport for that entire time. When you look at this guy, not saying he doesn't look like an operations manager, but he doesn't look like an operations manager. Most of those airlines have certain codes that their employees are required to look like, and, you know, clean cut, so on and so forth. And by the way, this guy doesn't fit that description any way, shape, or form. Furthermore, why would someone with a badge at an airport be asking you for food? Are the other passengers that gave him food just that dumb? I think I'm answering my own question. Flashback, by the way. Just a reminder for all of you that are on the left and some that are on the right. But the Democrats rioted at the Trump inauguration. Don't forget that, folks. So all of you lefties, holier than thou hypocrites that you are, before you run around and talk about everything that happened last Wednesday, don't forget what your own folks did at the Trump inauguration some 4 years ago, July 20th, 2017. They clashed. There was protest. There was fires in the streets and so on. So before your holier than thou party runs around acting like, you know, they're angels from God, you're not, they're not. And I'm reminding you all that we had riots in the street the day that Trump was inaugurated. So please don't forget that for one second as we come into Wednesday. Not saying our side should do that. I would never, ever, ever advocate that. I'm just saying, before all of you hypocrite Democrats run around pointing fingers at last Wednesday, you better go back and look in the mirror and those three fingers pointing back at you for what happened some 4 years ago. I'll leave you with that. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.